sensitive issues, open the doors. Next, we turn to the actual organisational service review report on page 75, I think. Now, when can management just tell me, when do we actually get to discuss the library service review as such? Because that's not... Well, the motion is most unhelpful then. How are the public meant to know what we're discussing? I mean, the one thing is the organisational service review status report. That appears with the amazing multicoloured diagram on page 78. But then there are actual service reviews. So I think it needs to be an extended motion if we're going, or a different motion if we're going to actually discuss the library service review. Let's just deal with the status report, but that's just page 78. Does anyone have any questions about that? Can I just have someone interested in moving the recommendation as printed on page 75? Moved, Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded, Councillor Vlescu. Any discussion on the general progress? Then I'll put the motion, all those in favour, all those against. It's carried by majority. Councillor Vlescu, what did you want to do? Now we'll deal with... Now, what I would invite next would be to note the Marion Library Service Review Report. And that's a matter about which you want to declare perceived conflict of interest, I think.
Just the same as what was in the minutes for last week. We run the tax help program in my area. I do not run the program in any of the services within the City of Marion. That's not my direct responsibility. I don't see a conflict for myself. The service does run in other areas in the City of Marion, so it's not dependent on the libraries. And I'll remain for the meeting, but I just wanted to declare that perceived interest, just like last time.
Thank you. If it's worth anything, I don't see a need to leave the meeting on the basis of that perceived interest, but thank you for noting it. So I'm after a motion that the Marion Library Service Review Report be noted. Moved, Councillor Vlescu.
Just clarification. That is actually Appendix 2 that we've already passed in the prior motion.
No, as I said, that motion that was passed only referred to page 78, because I'm not going to accept a motion that describes service reviews in general, which in a sense covers up service review reports. So I'm dealing with them separately, Councillor Telfer. So... it's been moved, Councillor Vlescu, seconded, Councillor Westwood. Now we're talking about the actual library service review. Can anyone point me to any recommendations coming out of the review? Don't know that there are any. Councillor Pfeiffer?
I think Councillor Telfer might have been correct when she moved that point of order a moment ago, in that in the previous motion, where moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Vlescu, where we note the report, Organisational Service Review Status Report, March 17, including appendix... Oh, sorry, we only did appendix 1. My mistake. It said 1 and 2 in the recommendation. My mistake. Sorry.
No, that's including appendix 1 and 2 wasn't... Well, whether it was...
Sorry, that was my intention to second that.
The intention was not to include the words including Appendix 1 and 2. Right, I must say I feel like asking for a 5-minute adjournment to sort this. Do we need a motion? Oh, with the leave of the meeting, let's have a 5-minute adjournment. Everyone can have a stretch, sort out what we're doing with this motion. Thank you. Councillors, we resume after a very long 5 minutes. Now, I particularly need the attention of the mover and seconder, Councillor Valescu and Councillor Westwood, because we got as far as noting the report, and we can do without the appendix too, because it stands by itself now. Well, as I understood it, that's what they were just noting the Marion Library Service review report. In fact, yeah, I wish we could have done without one of those services, but anyway. If I just start talking about it cutting a service, staff will get upset, but anyway, we just did. Now, Councillor Valescu and Councillor Westwood, on page 114 of the agenda, which is page 35 of the service review report itself, that's where the recommendations are. So I'm inviting Councillor Valescu, as the mover, with the leave of the meeting, to incorporate such of the report recommendations as he wishes.
What page did you quote, Your Worship?
Yes, so it's page 114 of the agenda.
Okay. Look, I'm happy to incorporate all of those, Your Worship.
Including the controversial number 5?
Oh, look, I'm happy to move the first 4, and if Council wants to vote on the 5th one separately.
You can always move an amendment. Now, are you happy with that, Councillor Westwood? With the leave of the meeting, we incorporate those into the motion? So we're noting the report and 1, 2, 3 and 4. And anyone that wants to can move number 5 if they wish to. Now, having said that, Councillor Valescu, would you like to speak to your motion?
Yeah, look, I'd ask for support on this. I think that libraries are one of the bread and butter elements of our council. I see a lot of the users in our libraries are people that perhaps are not as involved in our society. They are those that are more vulnerable in the digital divide. They provide a free place for people that perhaps don't have access to a lot of areas that we do normally, well, I guess that we do if we have more means. It's an opportunity for people to engage and re-engage in their community, and most importantly, it's an opportunity to learn. And based on these figures, we are comparing reasonably well. I think the most important figures to remember and to take note is how we're performing with other libraries in the metro area and similar libraries. So the aspirational goals through the Association of Libraries, that's fine, but I don't give them the same credence as how we're faring with those other comparable libraries in the state. And I do note that we have one of the best turnover of library materials. So we do have stuff that a lot of people are happy to borrow. So I think the statistics on usage speak for themselves. It would be nice to look at Tonsley, but I think that's not something we need to do straight away. I'm happy to wait for that one. And I think also as the landscape changes, we may find other opportunities, and then we would look at where to from there. So, members, I do ask for your support in this, and I would like to see us increase what we provide and make it an even more relevant place for more people.
Councillor Westwood,
Anything to add?
I would have to support Councillor Vilescu not particularly promoting a presence at Tonsley at this stage. I mean, the university and TAFEs there, I'm sure they have good resources of their own, even although I suppose some people might consider that the new residents in those areas might be interested, but I suppose hopefully most of the residents, new residents in that area will be connected to Tonsley. So I think that's the idea. Anyway, other than that, I agree with the mover. Thank you.
Anyone speaking against the motion or moving an amendment? Councillor Hull?
Yes.
Question?
Mr. Mayor, in regards to point four, with the exploration of the Northern Library in the north, and for that matter, even if the Tonsley one was still discussed, I'd like to ask the question, can there be and has there been any discussion with our neighbouring councils in terms of a more district approach to this, with libraries? It's proven that council boundaries do not really have that much meaning in terms of where books are borrowed and returned. So, particularly now with the one library card.
The report relates about Glandor is about 80% of the library users go outside of the council area. And no doubt that would be reciprocated in other council areas close to Marion. But I'll ask Mr. Lyons to respond.
Councillor Hull, it's an excellent question, and I think that any future Northern facility would have to ask those questions of the Northern councils. In the past, we have had conversations with the Mitcham Council, and I know they've just completed a library service review just before us, and they haven't looked to do anything more than what they have, but I think any hypothetical Northern solution at library and other services should ask that question.
Anyone speaking against motion or amendment? Then I don't think there's a need to close the debate. We'll simply put it to a vote. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we turn to, perhaps staff can help me to the right page, with the next service review report. Oh, is there one?
Yes.
And we've dealt with Appendix 2. All right, so we're on to the LGA public awareness campaign on this so-called, it's the anti-rate capping campaign on page 129. Now, we had moved last time, Councillor Crossland heroically moving, and we didn't get to the point of having a second, and we ran out of time. So, Councillor Crossland, back to you.
I'd like to move as printed on page 129. With point one, point two, and ABC, as previously stated.
Yeah, we'll get that up on the screen.
Okay. Notwithstanding the very prompt reply from the LGA, which yet again their reactive nature to such issues is pretty good. I hope they're proactive. Nature to new things is equally good. I think that we have done a great deal of the City of Marion in reducing our rates. I think this is more than the City of Marion. There are lots of other people suffering huge rate increases. As people are well aware, I campaigned for much lower rates than we were previously suffering, of 4% and 5%, which to be honest, they're still hurting ratepayers because we're compounding those increases with every rate increase we give. And I know many people would like to see a CPI rate. I think the 2.5% as a rate cap is achievable and would give councils the opportunity to work within those goals and can also be used to try and sustain some of the expenses that councils suffer. I think in the City of Marion, we are actually going to be under those rates going forward, and I think they're achievable. But for future people who come after us and other councils, they may need that benefit of the extra nudge of a rate cap. So I would like to see that move forward, and I don't want to see this become something which we fund through the LGA. I think it's something which they can stay out of.
Anyone opposing the motion? Question, Councillor Hull.
In terms of Marion Council's performance now, and assuming that we're going to continue on the current decline in rate rises, how do we perform right now in terms of a model of rate capping that exists in the state of Victoria, for example?
Well, Councillor Hull, I can answer that. Previous financial year, the cap in Victoria was 2.5%. Purely by coincidence, Marion Council had decided a rate increase of 2.5%, so we would have exactly been on the cap last year. This year, the Victorian Government have announced a cap of 2.0%. Of course, we haven't determined our rates, but looking at the budget, it may well be something around that mark.
Supplementary, Mr. Mayor, given that we've achieved that, can you advise me why would we want to spend more of the ratepayers' money to actually bring about a rate capping, given that we've already achieved it?
Well, I'll take that as a rhetorical question. It's really part of the debate. In other words, nothing more need be said. Councillor Westwood? You're speaking against, thank you.
Well, microphone's on ready. Okay, well, this move by the LGA isn't necessarily supporting It's more a factor of telling us what to do and trying to control the councils, as far as I can see. We're already told often enough what to do by the government. I think we should, as adult, sensible people in council, decide what kind of rate rises we need. And if some councils decide to go overboard, hopefully they'll be tossed out. That's all. Thank you.
Yes, I guess it raises the rhetorical question, what if most councils are going overboard and every time people get tossed out, there are other people thinking the same who get back in? But just a rhetorical question. Councillor Blescu, you want to speak?
Yes, please. Look, I think we need to look at our history. I think that we had a fair bit of fat in the budgets. We undertook measures to scrutinise and reduce the spending. There are some challenges that we face based on the types of expenses that we have. So I would actually like councils to receive the support and advice and guidance that we did to keep their rates as low as possible. I think there needs to be a negotiation with the next government, if it is a Liberal government, that councils are still able to deliver the services that they can. I don't think as many other councils would be as fortunate to be able to trim down based on what we had. We had
Point of order, Councillor Hull.
We had a speaker against, and now we've got another speaker against.
I'm speaking in favour of the motion, but I'm highlighting some points.
Okay, Councillor Valescu, yes, please keep showing your enthusiastic support for the motion. Thank you.
So I think that we need to look at those measures that actually do reduce the spending. And as I said, we're in a lucky position. For the last considerable time, there was some fat in there that got in there. So I think that's an important one. I also think that if we do need to, whatever the rate capping type model is that comes in, it does need to give councils that autonomy. And that's one of the issues as well. So in our discussions with, if it is a Liberal government next time, I think that's the discussions we need to have. The rate that the LGA may choose to identify an issue which other members think is pertinent, but I think it needs to be done in a way that keeps that conversation open. And for some people, they may see it as an attack on the Liberal Party if the campaign is run too aggressively. So I guess taking this cautious approach may actually get councils a little bit more leeway as far as how this policy comes about, as opposed to a more aggressive approach. So that's why, in the balance of things, I'm supporting our position on this.
Just got you over the line. Look, having spoken with a number of LGA people about it, I can assure you they're planning an aggressive campaign in relation to this. Just to reassure you.
Councillor
Gard? You're speaking contrary to someone, I take it.
Yes.
Good.
I'm speaking vehemently against the motion. It's no secret to anyone around this table that I think that the rate system stinks, that we have in South Australia and some other states as well. I don't like the structure from top to bottom. It's a bad system. And I don't want to sound political either, but in this case, I think we have to bear in mind that it's the Liberal Party that is wanting rate capping, and there's a message in that. So I just make that point behind the scenes. I don't think it's democratic to put a rate cap on a whole body of government. It removes one's ability to manoeuvre as one sees fit. It removes the open market situation created between councils. We are doing a fantastic job of manoeuvring with rates and expenditure in this council. And I don't see why our friends over the border should be pulled in if it's their decision not to be pulled in, and that by default leaves us in a stronger position. So that's a more selfish viewpoint. But by the same token, we are all grown-ups. We deserve the flexibility to be able to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, within the brief that we receive from residents. And that involves an element of trust, a large element of trust, and that is why we need to be able to say, right, well, this is a special year, without going cap in hand to anybody, anybody. I don't see why we should have to go cap in hand to anybody. So just recapping there, excuse the pun, democracy, flexibility, trust of our residents, it's a partisan situation that is in favour of the wealthier of our community to cap rates, and it is disobeying the laws of the open market, where those that are superior should be rewarded for their superiority, and the market forces eventually come to play. And I take the point that it's possible that some people don't want to leave a council for other reasons and therefore they feel caught. But there are ways that an individual, and I've done it myself, can speak, and speak with a great deal of force and conviction and to effect. So I am vehemently against that motion.
I suppose we could replace rates with a tree tax, and then Marino would get off very lightly.
Now you're talking.
But now, anyone else speaking in favour of the motion?
Mr Mayor, and there will be no mistake about which way I'm speaking, I can tell you now. Mr Mayor, the only proviso that I would like to see included in the message that we're sending out tonight, one is that we're actually self-imposing a capping, which we've done successfully. We've demonstrated that. The challenge ahead for us is to maintain that, okay, and that's not far away. The other message I'd like to send back to any government or future government, no politics involved, is that if they were to come to us and say, we want to impose rate capping on local government, fine, as long as you actually have a tax and levy cap for yourself. You with me? So, you know, I think that should be a message that we dispatch from the City of Marion. We're sending one message to our community that we are actually imposing our rate capping, but we don't want double standards from our government. We want them to practice what they preach. So for the member for Bright, okay, who is an advocate of rate capping, Mind you, he seconded my motion for a 4.9% rate rise when he was on the council, sitting over there where you are, Councillor Gart, oddly enough. Then he needs to practice what he preaches within the South Australian government. So, you know, no double standards. And as for double standards, could there be an inherent benefit for the LGA, Mr Mayor, if our rates go up? If we have more capacity to pay the stinking bills they deliver to us, could that be a factor in their thinking, Mr Mayor? I don't know. I would say yes. I would say yes, because if we have more capacity to pay, they will put their hand up and we would demand more from us. So there is an inherent stench within the LGA by suggesting that we do not accept rate capping and that we actually toe the line. So I find it concerning that our state body would be spending our ratepayers' money, if the motion of somebody else here tonight got up, to actually go down the LGA track. I find that very concerning and not in the best interests of the ratepayers of Marion.
Well, Councillor Hull, I don't think needs amending the motion, but I'm quite happy to volunteer to send the results of the motion to relevant parliamentarians and make the polite suggestion that increases in state charges and taxes be limited to the same percentage that rates are capped, if in fact it comes to pass. So if staff could make a note of that, I'm quite happy to do that. Anyone speaking in favour of the motion? I must say it reminds me a little of the great debate in 1941 when order, the Mayor's reminiscing about 1941, the great debate about income tax. That was the year that states lost the power to impose income taxation. 42, but it was negotiated around that time. And the same arguments took place, that, you know, one level, it became voluntary after a degree of arm twisting, but the federal government, you know, in a sense enforced it and retained that right for themselves. But anyway, that was the end of the free market, to use Councillor Gard's expression, in respect of income taxation. Councillor Crossland, to close the debate.
Yeah, thank you. I don't often disagree with Councillor Gard, but I'm going to pick up on some of his points to turn them around. One of the major features of the policy, if you look at it, is that although there may be an imposed rate capping, there is still the flexibility to actually go above that rate cap. The difference being is that we have to justify it to residents and they vote in favour of it when we do our consultation. So if we have a new asset that we want to build and we want to borrow the money and it's going to go over the 2.5%, so we want 3%, we send that out. If the consultation comes back, we agree with the rate increase, then we can impose the 3%. But it's with consent. And to pick Councillor Gard's, we then get the trust of the very community that we serve. So I think it's a much fairer system, it is flexible, and it's another way of saying to our residents that we are working for you, we consult you, you can trust us.
I put the motion. All those in favour, raise the hand. Those against, raise the hand. The motion is carried by majority. Division is called by Councillor Westwood. All those in favour, please stand in your place. Councillors Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull, Byram, Valescu and Crossland just remain standing for a moment. Those against are Councillors Pfeiffer, Kerry, Westwood and Gard. The motion is carried. Thank you. You may be seated. Members, less than half an hour to go. We're starting to think of which motions are more time critical. So with your leave, I'll jump to the Fluvio Peninsula Tourism Proposal, promoting Fluorism, as I call it. And this is somewhat time-sensitive because the Fluorism people are coming up with a branding and wayfinding strategy. I think that's the sort of... that's right up our alley at Marion Council. I'm surprised that we don't have a wayfinding strategy. We have every other kind of strategy. And of course, we don't have any branding. Well, we do, but we don't talk about it. But we will. It's part of the wayfinding strategy. Now, can I have a motion, please? Moved, Councillor Hull.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, happy to do this. And maybe you should let them know that whilst they're actually driving down through there, they're actually driving through Little Britain as well, being Hallett Cove.
Thank you. Councillor Gard. Seconded. Thank you. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. They will be so pleased. And here we are in Marion, the gateway to the Fleurieu. We move on to... next one. Yes. Now, there are a number of reports which are budget sensitive, so I think it's probably better to move. I will take suggestion from Councillor Crossland, although there are no, I think we have to move them one by one. So the next one is the I should ask, the tennis and netball review rescission motion, is that time sensitive? Has a budget impact. Well, then we probably should deal with it. So that's page 162. Could manager just briefly explain that one?
Through the chair. Yep. So this is just requiring a slight amendment to the resolution passed when council considered the tennis and netball review and endorsed the three-year program of works. We apologise that there was an error in the Marion Tennis Club, was shown as requiring 20k and it should have been 45k. So this just makes that amendment.
All right. Council. Fair enough. We're in a forgiving mood. Councillor Telfer to move. Seconded. Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? Sorry, question?
Yeah.
Haven't voted yet. Sorry.
Point four of this motion, actually that expenditure relates to the remediation of some tennis courts, doesn't it? It's not an upgrade, it's the actual removal and remediation.
Ms. Dixon, point four.
So that would be as per Appendix 4.
Through the reports, so the program of works includes upgrade to courts, resurfacing, improvement to some of the surrounding facilities with the courts as well. There are some works that council approved, which was also just leaving the court surface there just for flat surface play as well.
Shall I put that to the vote now? All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Turn to page 175, please. Hallett Cove Beach Tennis Club facility improvements. Great club, great to see that they're getting some money together and asking us for a contribution. Moved, Councillor Crossland. Seconded, Councillor Gard. Councillor Crossland to speak.
Thank you. I've made a slight alteration to the recommendations by staff, which I have supplied by email.
The motion you're moving is what you're about to tell us now, isn't it?
Yes. Right. So you'll note a change to item recommendation number 3 and recommendation number 4, in that recommendation 4 was originally to endorse $38,000 towards the works at Hallett Cove Beach Tennis Club, and they will have to get $77,500 from Office of Rec and Sport. I've changed that to allocation of $45,000 from the sustainability reserve and reduce the amount they need to get from ores down to by $7,000, which, should be $7,000 to $70,500. The reason for that, as you'll see in upcoming motions to council, is that we're doing the same thing for two other tennis facilities. In each of those occasions, council has endorsed $45,000, and they have to get a lower amount from Office and Rec of Sport. I didn't think that was equitable and fair. Hallett Cove Beach have already been knocked back when they applied for a slightly lower amount. So this levels the playing field. All three clubs get the same amount, and all three clubs are applying to the Office of Rec and Sport for a similar amount. I just thought that was a fairer position to be. I also note that Hallett Cove Beach Tennis Club are putting double in what some of the other clubs are from their own membership.
Very good. Any further than all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On to Marion Tennis Club, I think, is the next one. 180, page 180. Councillor Telfer to move. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland. Councillor Valesco to speak.
Yes, this is good. I think we need to... We're demonstrating our commitment to tennis, and I think that it's quite important that that other tennis clubs around the area recognise that, and also Glenelg District Tennis Association. So I understand, originally there were concerns about the place in regards to tennis, but we're actually demonstrating that we're working with tennis clubs and particularly this association.
Sorry, where's the association contribution?
There's no association contribution. It's just that they're the membership. And I think it's important that members that do contribute their own money that are part of this association are aware that Work Council does support them and that we do support the members in that association.
Yeah, well... that's right. Sorry, you mentioned the Glenelg District's Tennis Association.
The affiliation, not the actual contribution from the association.
Yeah,
the
don't worry,
itself.
the lack of contribution is noted. Right, all those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously, I think. So now we turn to Southbank. Right, it's 15 love, 30 love, see if we can make it 40 love. Councillor Byram to move. Councillor Westwood to move. And Councillor Byram to second. Councillor Westwood, what would you like to say, briefly?
Not very much, other than that they seem to be a very thriving club, very busy, involved in competitions very heavily, or competition, more than one, I dare say, and very deserving for funds. Thank you.
Aced it. Councillor Byram, anything to add? No. All those in favour, raise your arm. Thank you. Carried unanimously. Let's go to page 189, Hallett Cove Stage 5 Amphitheatre implementation, because that also has a budget implication. Councillor Crossland to move.
Thank you, Worship. I believe this has been already discussed and there's plenty of information in the report, which I'll take as read. Just to confirm that the total amount that is needed to fund this development is already in the Asset Sustainability Fund, ring-fenced for Hallett Cove Foreshore. It does use up a significant amount of that funding. I do know, however, that staff are going to try and look at partnership funding so that there may be no need to use that entire amount.
Thank you. Is that seconded, Councillor Gard? Thank you. Councillor Velasco.
Will we be actively approaching people before the next state election to see if there's any commitment again this year?
Councillor Crossland and I have had a preliminary discussion about some targeted lobbying, which would assist, but nonetheless we have the project, we have to cost it, we have to commit the money, but leading up to the state election we'll be approaching various parties for assistance. Thank you. All those in favour, raise your... Sorry, a question?
Section 49 report done on this?
Section 48 report. 48. Who would like to answer? Mr. Skoll? Ms. Dixon's going to answer.
Through the Chair, no, Section 48 report hasn't been prepared for this project as it's under the $4 million amount.
I see. Okay. No, there was a question that I'll talk later about. It's valuable to know. Thank you.
That's right. I know what you're thinking, Councillor Hull. Let's keep moving on. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. Let's go to the elected member records management policy, only because that's been hanging around for so long and there's been a lot of negotiation about getting the wording right. So we now do have a proposal for a system which automatically will collect our emails and store them. The discussions I've been having with the acting manager governance the last couple of days are around when is there permission for staff to access those records, because the motion, as originally printed, didn't really give a codification of when that would happen. So we've come up with some wording, which won't be on your pages, but it's up, coming up. It was up on the screen a moment ago. Yeah. It's coming. There we are. So if you look in that paragraph 2, only accessed by relevant staff in order to comply with a legislative obligation or upon an appropriate formal request, could be a code of conduct, or an elected member accessing their own records. Elected members to be notified if records are to be accessed by staff, unless it's forbidden, which it is in the case of the ICAC legislation. Question, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just one point of clarification. Who in the current management structure can authorise such access? Is it purely the CEO, or could it be reserved for the CEO to sign off on such access?
I think there are a couple of managers with delegated authority, and Ms. Thwaites will answer.
Essentially, it would probably depend on what the request actually was. So if it was a freedom of information request, we do actually have delegated staff that have appropriate training and authority to fulfil those requests, whereas if it was a code of conduct or an ICAC, it would depend entirely on the investigation, but they do generally go through the CEO.
Thank you. I just wonder whether just to strengthen that motion, that the CEO could be notified of all access to elected member emails, even if it's delegated by a junior staff, that there is some oversight at that level.
There would be few and far between, I'm told. So we could easily do that by saying elected members... Well, we probably it should be the relevant elected member, actually. In the middle of that big chunk, do we see that? Instead of elected members, the relevant elected member would be member and the chief executive officer. That satisfy that, Councillor Crossland? Thank you.
I'm happy to move if that's the way it's now presented.
Very good. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor? Councillor Hull?
The question raised by about elected members' emails being accessed and the CEO being advised is a prudent position to take. The rhetorical question I have that I've raised time and time again is the unsuspecting member of the public sends me an email, right, which is dynamite, and I've had them, okay? It is actually then accessed by administration. Should that member of the public be notified as well? Should that member of the public know that their faith has been breached?
Councillor Hull, I will point out that under the system where that is proposed here, the relevant elected member would be notified and would be able to, that is, under those conditions, would be able to inform the constituent.
Well, then does it get into an irky situation then where an elected member is actually then forced, in a way, to make contact with an informant? And really, it could be a breach of the code of conduct with making contact with an informant after the complaint's been made. So I just find it concerning that an invective member would be put in that position where, one, they've received an email in good faith from a member of the public, and then there's an expectation of an elected member to deliver the bad news that your email has been read and is actually being part there now of an investigation.
I mean, it seems to me probably the only answer is to have some sort of disclosure, perhaps on our website. I'm not sure how effective that is. But remember the context that because of the State Records Act, we have to do something about this, and we have to do something pretty close to what this says.
I understand.
So, you know, I appreciate the dilemma, but that situation would only arise if there's something like an FOI request, a code of conduct investigation, or something from the Ombudsman, ICAC, or etc. So,
I would prefer to have the administration notify that poor soul that their email, their communication has been intercepted.
I think, but I mean, if the elected member is advised, in most cases, staff would be amenable to carrying that out on behalf of an elected member.
I'd like to see that entrenched in our policy.
Well, you'll either have to move an adjournment or bring an amendment or something like that, because certainly I've tangled with it a lot. I can't do much better myself, so it's up to you.
Well,
Councillor, I don't think this is something we could do on the run. This has been months in the drafting, so I would suggest that if you think there's a way through, that you move to adjourn. No, I know, but no reasonable solution has been found, because when there are one of those inquiries that I've mentioned, the action has to take place. It can't be avoided. It's the notification of a whistleblower resident that might have got in touch with an elected member, and you want staff rather than the elected member to contact them to let them know that their email is being read by staff pursuant to a certain kind of inquiry.
Exactly.
Then you've got problems, because depending on the type of inquiry, certainly if it's an ICAC investigation, you're not allowed to tell them. Well, so you see what I mean? You see the danger of trying to draft on the run. Anyway, you move. I'll come back to you if you want to move an adjournment, but at the moment I'll just come to Councillor Cross.
Can I use this as an opportunity, just as a question? I don't think there is an option in here, but is it possible to add on elected member details a warning that emails would be treated as a public document and are subject to FIO and something requests? You know, when people usurp and get the email address from there could be a warning.
That's a procedural thing which could be taken in. I've suggested some kind of disclosure, and it doesn't make the emails a public document, but it does leave them open to inspection by other than the recipient in very limited circumstances. So, I mean, we can do that at the same place on the website where people find our address. So can Mr. Skull, can staff take that on board in some form? May not be exactly that, but something like that would be appropriate. That still doesn't answer Councillor Hull's question exactly, but as I say, I'm not sure that it can ultimately be satisfied.
Under certain circumstances, we've been requested to actually provide emails sent to us about certain issues to the administration. The last time was the rainbow flag. And years ago, we had an expectation to put it on Blue Point. some of you might not remember what that is, but you know, it was somewhere akin to Lotus Notes. So, you know,
I think, Councillor, the question is, do you want to adjourn this for your further consideration of an amendment, or do you let it go through and then try and fix it?
Well, I'd be happy to see this go through tonight and then have a work in progress where we can actually have continuous improvement to this.
And Councillor Hull, you know my thinking on this. I'm very conscious of that, those issues of confidentiality and so on. So I'm happy to work with you and with staff to improve the process if possible. I'll put it to a vote then. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? It's carried by majority. Thank you. Right. One that we must deal with. Councillor Westwood, thank you so much. Is that seconded? Councillor Kerry. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Okay, keep going. Page 248, we do have to deal with this one. LGA General Meeting. Look, I really don't want to miss this because I've got so much to say to the LGA, but it is up to Council who they nominate as their voting delegate. All I can say is that customarily it's the Mayor. Councillor Telfer? Very good choice. Is the Deputy Mayor willing to accept the proxy? Don't worry, unless I'm, you know,
question, Mr.
badly
Mayor.
Off, I'll be there.
Question, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hull?
When it comes to the LGA rate capping proposal, could you speak in the appropriate way about that?
Sure, unless I'm subject to the knee capping proposal. That's moved. Is it seconded? Councillor Gard? All those in favour? That's all those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. Right. Now, the finance report and work health and safety report, I suggest, could be moved en bloc. I will allow a moment for questions. Councillor Telfer to so move. Is that seconded? Councillor Kerry, I will ask if anyone does have any questions. Councillor Gard?
Just in relation to the favourable variance on employee costs, which is quite considerable, and I think there's a reasonable explanation to that as well, but it was just a question of management as to whether the staff and management that we have in place at the moment are under undue pressure as a result of the timing factors in filling jobs, etc., that is mentioned as the explanation for the variance.
I think Mr. Scull is probably best placed to answer that.
Yeah.
Mr. Scull.
Thank you, Chair. I've been speaking with a number of staff groups, including all of the managers, in recent weeks. There are parts of the organisation that are under some strain, and so there's no doubt about that. We've put extra load on staff with regard to putting through work area, revised work area plans and the like, and so there has been some pressure. So I recognise, and I think it's a fair question to be asked, that there are certain parts of the organisation under pressure.
Mentioning that I've asked for a complete set of the work area plan monthly reports. Now, it's not something we need most of the time, but and it is an internal working document, but I've asked to have a look just to check the pulse of the organisation. It's been refused to me a couple of times, but I'll report to you if that refusal persists, and I'll let you know if anything remarkable comes out of it. I suspect it's all perfectly ordinary, but I will keep you informed on that. Pryor.
still got 3 months of the year, so that's a good thing. But looks like Vinnie wants to answer that question.
Mr. Mifsud, how are we going to ramp these up?
Mayor, and through the chair, there are some legitimate reasons for coming up with the roads program. So the information I have at my fingertips is that January invoices the January works have actually been signed off, but we haven't been invoiced yet. So there's a substantial amount of works that have been completed. Similarly, the February works are to be inspected and signed off, but they have actually been completed. What I'd say to members to give you hopefully a satisfactory level of peace of mind is we did discuss last week about the projected carryovers, and we did note that we're expecting a significant improvement. There will be carryovers, as there will be every year. That's unavoidable, but we've improved significantly.
And probably the big one that stands out to me is the streetscapes. I mean, there's a lot of work to go there to fulfil that part of the arrangement. So does anyone want to comment on that?
That'd be Mr. Lyons, our specialist there.
My apologies, Councillor Pryor. I happened to be engaged in a conversation with another general manager at the time.
It's a few hundred thousand dollars on streetscapes that haven't been spent this financial year. So,
those works are in hand. In fact, I'm just about to send an update of that very matter to members. So we have completed the design on those two roads, two streets. A consultation has been undertaken with the projects, and we are looking to probably do about an 80% completion. I will be very, very honest with you that there's a slight chance of an overrun, and we were honest about that with members at the last forum.
Yeah, so 80 is better than 10, so that's good.
Yep, look, it's an exceptionally healthy budget position, basically.
So can I just ask, is that
Councillor Kerry?
Evenly being distributed throughout the council amongst wards, the treescaping policy?
Might be talking about streetscaping.
I think we're talking about streetscaping. Are you talking about treescaping? So this year has just got the two preliminary streets that we approved, Ramrod and Charles, and then we have a program of works for the next 5 years coming to a forum, I understand, in April, to discuss that program.
Any further? Councillor Westwood.
I think I see on the chart here on page, 259, is it? that the approved budget is fairly high and we haven't done much of that. Does that sound about right or is that correct?
Mr. Mifsud.
Thank you. Through the chair, if you look at the commentary underneath the streetscape graph, it actually explains that the works are expected to commence in the months of March and April. This is the February report, so I think Mr. Lyon's comments is accurate.
So we should pretty well finish, I mean close, you know, we expect some rollover or whatever. So we should be fairly close, should we? Is there any room for contractors to be hired?
Councillor Westwood, when these budget profiles were established, we thought we'd start in January. As the year has panned out, we didn't start in January. We're starting in March, April. We're lagging, there's no doubt about that. But we anticipate spending about 80% of that total spend this financial year.
Okay, thank you.
If there aren't any more, all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously, thank you. And that, remember, that was the Work Health and Safety Report as well. So now we go to the questions. That's right, questions. So, page 265, question from Councillor Hull about the Aquatic Centre.
And that's borne some fruit, Mr. Mayor.
Question on page 266 about staff wages, comparison with the award. Question on page 269 about the outdoor swimming centre caretaker's house from Councillor Telfer. It's been vacant for a while. Page 270, Councillor Kerry's question on the cost of the LGA membership investigation is there. Page 271, Mayor Hannah's questions about the Development Assessment Panel and representations. That's for the pure and simple reason of protecting the independence of the DAP. Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, I note that part of your question 3 and 4 wasn't answered, but it looks like someone started to answer and then it's all missing on my copy. It just says the complaint concerned and then it's blank with no answer.
That's right. That is of concern. You're talking about on page 272. It rather looks like maybe someone, it's like an Agatha Christie, someone didn't get the chance to complete the message. Mr. Scull, what would you fill that with?
Thank you, Chair. The Coordinator General met with me last week and we discussed a complaint that he'd received by a developer, and he was talking about some the Coordinator General's office has observed some inconsistencies in the way that the DAP is processing applications. What the Coordinator General doesn't do is to go back to the complainant, but they come to the council involved. And it was a very constructive meeting, and what I'm going to be doing is talk to the chair of the DAP, also meet with the developer, and also meet with the team in development to try and get consistency through the process, including recommendations and the DAP decisions, so that similar applications are dealt with in a similar way.
The director of scope, who's that?
Director? Jack Peat.
And just to finish off there, so the question was the subject of the complaint within the jurisdiction of the Coordinator General, and were the Coordinator General's concerns effective before the ERD Court changed their position or since?
Mind the Coordinator General's jurisdiction for entertaining complaints is $4 million as to the value of the project. So, Mr. Scull, what was the story there?
The Coordinator General gets a number of complaints about the activities of development assessment panels, and what he does is he goes out to the councils and say, look, I've received this complaint, and just be aware that this is what the applicants are saying about you. So what happens is that if a development's over, it's actually $3 million, and I apologise, I've advised the mayor it's $4 million, but if an application is over $3 million, it goes to the Development Assessment Commission rather than the DAP of an individual council. So that's their jurisdiction, but they're also an overseer, if you like, of the work of DAPs. And so it's not their job to tell us what to do, but he was certainly not telling us what to do in this instance. He was just advising us of the complaint.
And the second part was the complaint about the DAP. Was that as regarding their decisions before this recent ERD position change, or have these decisions been made subsequent to that?
They were all made subsequent to it, I believe, because that's the Marino case you're talking about, and certainly not related to that, we didn't even discuss it.
Thank you.
Well, I stand corrected if the Coordinator General's limit is $3 million or $4 million. In any case, I don't believe the relevant developments were anywhere near it. Okay, page 273, Councillor Gard. To move in relation to the Lorenzen site.
Thank you, Your Worship. I don't think this particular subject needs a lot more publicity from me. I do like the saying of the CEO of what keeps him awake at night, and believe me, this one is the thing that mainly keeps me awake at night, especially when we can smell smoke coming up from the back of the house. There is a very, very grave issue on this site as to huge fuel loads, the lighting of fires, the holding of the securing of drugs in drug caches, the abuse of children through the fence, and of course the general appearance of the fence line. I put this motion up in a timely way, because I think we can safely say that dealings are at final stages now between Borrell and the developers, without making too much of a point of it. 2 years ago, I stood outside the boundary of the site with one of the developers and with two of our managers. And I was told that things were very close to coming to a head with agreement, and that as soon as that happened, the old buildings would be dropped on the site, and that the site would be made more presentable, and that that would happen very soon. Now, that's 2 years ago. I now learn that even if dealings go through fluently, and I believe that will happen in coming weeks or a few months at the most, that it will be some 2 years at least before any spade could go to earth. And it occurs to me that we have nothing in writing from the developers that they are going to try and make good the site as soon as they can be sure that revenue will be forthcoming from the site. And that, I assume, has to be when those dealings are complete, because there are few things that we're aware of that could stand in their way. So overlaying all of this is the fact that from the 1st of July, local government starts to have bite about enforcing the securing of sites and the presentation of sites, all to different degrees. But it's most important now that we start to prepare as to how we're going to handle this. Now, one of the complications is that Holdfast Bay is responsible for the most exposed border of the site, that being Schofield Road. So we need their cooperation. And I have put two of the three of their ward councillors on notice about that. So what I'm looking for is teamwork and commitment from our management.
Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland? Anyone speaking in opposition? Question, Councillor Hull?
I take it the motion is as printed in the agenda, but just to add clarity, would it be in order to actually pick up the advice from the staff that I assume point two on page 274 would be what Councillor Gard is looking for, just to make it clear, if it was challenged, what the Council's intent was? Because it refers to Section 94 and the Development Act. And
I think you can assume, Councillor, that the mover has put his motion deliberately in general terms to leave it to staff to take the best approach, the most effective approach.
Okay.
There being no other opposition, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. The Mayor has put forward a motion, page 276, about legal expenses. I note that Mr. Skull has endorsed the concept.
Just a point of order, the last motion was seconded by Councillor Crossland.
The point of order is upheld and it's been corrected on the record. Thank you. Would someone like to move the motion? Councillor Hull, legal expenses.
Mr. Mayor, following recent events with, it's in the report, the Merino house that is almost a barbecue.
Please don't interrupt while another member is speaking. Yep. Councillor Hull, please continue.
Yeah, which is a topical conversation in our community and even further afield. I think that in order for weak elected members to have some heads up and possible control over developments like this, assuming the CEO would give us that heads up, I think that this is prudent and it gives them checks and balances. Mr. Mayor, with this particular house, I believe there was $250,000 worth of legal fees. $262,000. That's big beans. That's a lot of money. And And maybe it needed to be spent. It's not for me to say. But I think it's important for the process that you've put forward, Mr. Mayor, to be followed in future. I think we can ill afford not to have a policy like this in place.
Councillor Pryor, seconded. Any discussion, Councillor Crossley?
The motion.
You
want to put the motion?
A move that the motion be put. Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, all those in favour? That's unanimous. I therefore put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.